This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Hemsex. Wow. Just every time you think you've reached the bottom of the internet, guess what? The floor falls out from beneath you and you find another horrible level to it. You know, just growing up, you know, getting high, smoking joints, hanging out in a cornfield, a little wild Irish rose out of a coffee cup. I just couldn't imagine a time where people would be creating synthetic drugs and shoving them up inside of themselves in places they shouldn't go. Yeah, you'll hear a story coming up where we broke down the KTLA anchor that was found dead after placing crystal methamphetamine inside of himself in a way it shouldn't go, rubbing popper stuff all over a mask and breathing it in instead of oxygen, and leaving behind a wife and a daughter. Oh, it's just so weird.
And then we got, like, it never ceases to amaze me the ferocity with which the texts and phone calls come flying in, and a bunch of people were like kind of taking a run at us, being like, how do you guys not know about this stuff? And I'm just like,
sorry,
I've never stuck
illicit
drugs up my butt. I mean, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's, you know, good. I'm better than you.
Yes, exactly.
How about this? I don't like to ever declare myself better than you. I'm better than you for not knowing that I could take handfuls of Molly X, Special K, and whatever other club drug someone whipped up in a toilet with an amateur chemistry set and shoved it where my grocery leaves me. All right? I'm better than you because of that, but not that much better than you.
Yeah, getting high definitely pushes forward innovation.
Oh, yeah.
Or the pursuit of highness breeds innovation. When would you ever think to do that?
Yeah,
Put something in your butt to make it better.
During sex.
Sex?
Yay!
No, well, yeah, that's it. It's the search of pleasure, like pleasure from drugs or pleasure from sex. But yeah, those two things are some of the biggest driving forces. You'll do a lot of stuff.
We learned all about chem sex and boofing. Oh, God, that's a word I never thought I'd say out loud. Hear about it now. Chem sex and a dead anchor. I'm Behind the Curtain.
KTLA Chris Burrows. He was an anchor out there in Los Angeles. Chris Burrows.
Poor dude.
I'm looking at a photo of the gentleman. It's a headshot from KTLA. He's in a suit and a tie. He's smiling. He was found dead back in December 2018. And just this past week, yesterday, day before, they kind of they released the autopsy. It turns out he was found at a Glendale hotel back in December. He died of methamphetamine toxicity, and he was engaging in chemsex, which is sex mixed with the use of illicit drugs, which is mostly seems to be like of the amphetamine type. Get you all hopped up, get you aroused. He was using poppers. He had a mask. He put a mask on, and the mask, I guess...
He put the poppers, I guess,
the holes of the mask. He was kind of huffing, like huffing poppers through a mask.
Where he should have been getting oxygen, he was getting like pure hydrogen and nitrogen.
And then the other thing he did was he inserted two rocks of crystal meth into his backside.
Oh, man.
Which is known as boofing.
Boofing, yes. What exactly is boofing?
And it's much like we've heard the term butt chugging, where college kids will, vodka up the backside. And what it does is
how I eat pot stickers.
It bypasses all of your organs. Like none of it gets filtered. None of it gets filtered through the organs or digested. It goes straight to the bloodstream. So this guy had meth up his hoo-ha. Mm-hmm. He's doing poppers. He's in there with a dude. They're having a whole bunch of gay sex, and he ends up dead. He had a wife, and he had a 9 or 10 year old daughter.
Yeah,
who he left behind.
Ugh.
He was a well respected newscaster, but
Josh played audio of him yesterday. He sounded like he was fantastic at his job. And you made which one of you made the point? It wasn't me, but I laughed at it. That if you're this news station, the next day when this autopsy gets released, and say sometimes it's a 2-man team, you got like Jason Newton, Mindy Bizarre. Do you got to go back on and be like, let's just say this is your Jason Newton, not comparing it to him,
but
you get the comparison.
Do you have to then report on your now dead
coworker? So you notice I'm here by myself today.
And talk about how the guy that you sat next to for 6 years had meth up his butt.
Like, yeah. Just had an open-air drug market in his service entrance. Like, how do you talk about
that
on the air?
We could probably, they're probably on YouTube, their announcement.
Ooh.
If one of our producers could find that, maybe them KTLA reporting on Chris Burrows.
That's a huge station.
Autopsy
too.
Report. I mean, that's bizarre, right? You're the news outlet, so you got to report on it. But how do you report on the guy that's sitting next to you now knowing that what the hell you know? All the details.
And I read, I started researching chemsex yesterday. Yeah, and you know, so Josh will make the headed. Joke about poppers and aha, and apparently it like makes you relax so you can maybe be capable of certain acts that you weren't capable prior to.
Oh, it hurts so bad!
Oh. And this is intrinsically linked to like the spread of a ton of diseases.
Yeah,
you go down into some underground weird sex club and you're just... Let's do this. And then the next thing you know, you're all loopy. You don't know what's happening. People are taking turns doing stuff. And then you go home and you snap out of like, oh, man, I have a cough that's lasted 7 months.
And so, for this guy, he would just put on his suit and tie, go to work, sit in front of the camera and present the news. Meanwhile, 2 days earlier, like you said, he's in some motel room.
Wearing a gimp mask.
That kind of guy is making like 7 digits. A TV news anchor in
seven?
Yeah.
In
LA.
God.
Yeah.
Yo, that's market two. I mean, that's market two at a major station there too. KTLA is the WBAL of Los Angeles. It's
just
massive.
Goes to show you never know. You never really know someone.
Ralph, buddy, Ralph. Okay, our buddy Wreck-It Ralph, who's just sort of like the world's sweetest drug user. We see him every year. What does it mean to parachute an e-pill? He says he parachuted an e-pill, very intense. Is that like a boof?
E, I guess, is ecstasy. I don't know what parachuting is.
What's parachuting it mean? Did you jump out of a plane and get high?
So, yeah, chemsex is basically where we're going with this. And we'll take a break. We'll get to some sports. We'll come back. And we may be talking to someone who is now clean and sober and actually works in the business of helping people turn their lives around.
Happy for her.
But this person apparently engaged in a bunch of chemsex. And we'll get a little more into exactly what chemsex is with her, talk about her experiences with it, but it is a interesting world. Chemsex, KTLA anchor Chris Burrows, found dead back around Christmas, just came out with the autopsy report. Here is KTLA reporting on their fellow anchor Chris Burrows' autopsy report.
Elsewhere tonight, the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office has just released the official autopsy report for KTLA anchor Chris Burrows. His death has been ruled an accident. The coroner determined Burrows, who was 43 years old, died from methamphetamine toxicity. He was found unresponsive at the Days Inn in Glendale on December 27th with a male friend. That friend is not facing any charges. Burrows, who first joined KTLA in 2011, anchored the KTLA weekend morning news and reported in the field on weekdays. He is survived by his wife and their 9-year-old daughter.
What I noticed about that, it's totally depersonalized. They don't say our colleague and friend.
Yeah, right.
And KTLA anchor.
Yes. Like
that's where you work, voice man.
Yeah. And so it's depersonalized and obviously no details. None of the salacious details that I love.
Yeah, all the juiciness of it all. And I mean, you can think about it.
A male friend.
A male compatriot.
Yeah, so Chris Burrows was
an old buddy
in a hotel room with a male friend. They were engaging in chemsex, which involves boofing, which is inserting things into the backside. He had 2 meth rocks up there.
Mm-hmm. This hole here using is poppers. The hole where you make a
they also didn't lead with it. They said, because you could tell it was not the top story, because they said elsewhere tonight.
Yeah, he found the guy on Grindr. I mean, the gay part of it, I don't know how important that is. It's just, you know, chemsex is sex. It's called party and play. Methamphetamine is often used recreationally. It has a potent aphrodisiac. It's a euphoriant and a stimulant. And there's an entire subculture known as party and play, which is based around methamphetamine use. So.
And I think we all in some random way might have done this ourselves. I mean, with just alcohol. I mean, just drinking booze and then hooking up and then afterwards kind of face palming like, ugh, God, I slept with that guy. Then, you know, okay. But this stuff where you're with the poppers and the crystal methamphetamine and putting stuff in strange areas, It drops the inhibition so much.
Yeah, totally into it.
Yeah, and some weird underground sex club somewhere. Brother, you need to watch the The film Shame. You ever seen the film
Shame?
The film Shame.
When's it from?
It is from, I believe, I'm looking it up right here, 2011 with Michael Fassbender, sex addict show. Movie. He is a sex addict. And when he can't get that itch scratched, well, by God, he'll go to anyone with a finger, with a long enough fingernail to scratch it. And he heads into some underground, like, New York sex club. Brother, when I tell you, it is a house of amazing horrors. And it's just room after room of wanton acts. And the camera kind of pans by. And that's two people. And that's five people. And that looks like a Cocker Spaniel. And then he just goes into one room and leans up against the wall. And then what appears to be Billy Mays from the OxyClean commercial just shoves him to the wall and then disappears out of frame south. And then he just makes this sound. Oh, the sound. And it's shot in a real sex club. It's a, like, know that too when you watch it. I have many copies. When you watch it, and you will, that they shot that place somewhere for real. Oh, and but you see people doing, like, they're crushing stuff and sniffing them.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And things like that to kind of lower the inhibitions and to make things easier.
It says the same drug-induced loss of inhibitions makes enthusiasts more vulnerable to immediate threats such as robbery, date rape, assault, or murder. By someone who they met for sex, and it says people in the scene have stated that sexual consent is not clearly defined, and there can be a perception that anyone at a party and play get-together is assumed to consent. So if you're there, you're down.
If you're there, if you've walked in that front door, it means game on. We also learned of a new term. It's fun. Today is a school day. Has anyone here ever heard of parachuting drugs? Parachuting is a method of swallowing drugs by rolling or folding powdered or crushed drugs in a piece of toilet paper. That's right. You just take crystal methamphetamine or crack cocaine or whatever your drug of choice is. You wrap it in Charmin Ultra Quilted with just a drop of vitamin E to keep your ass nice and moist. And then you swallow it, otherwise known as a snow bomb. I'm learning so much from all this.
Yeah,
and I feel amazing, too.
I don't want to say naive, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe I didn't really know about this.
I mean, I used to watch Intervention to feel better about where I was at in life. I was like, okay, I've done some stuff, but I've never been in an alley while there was a line waiting to have their turn with me so I can go ahead and grab a fix that day. You read some of this stuff. Yeah, and we were going to talk to someone. They reached out yesterday that basically explained, gave us the heads up about the boofing. And, Mike, she said she emailed you some stories. Again, just for decency's sake, I won't read your name, but this person emails us and says, placing drugs inside of yourself that way gets you higher faster. I've done it. I've done Molly and heroin. It's called boofing. And then she now works in substance abuse recovery. She's good. I got a bunch of stories. I will email you. And I hate to say that people have a look about them, but you outside looking in, you're like, oh, my God, this person runs the local PTA and organizes charity volleyball events by the look of her. So you can never tell. Like, you look at this KTLA guy, and he looks like he stepped off the pages of an Abercrombie ad.
Yep.
And then meanwhile, he's dressing up like the gimp inside of Zed's secondhand store.
Yep.
Oh, it's just wild. So,
Pulp Fiction reference. Shout out.
Shout out.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Mike, give me your thoughts on what happened in this next segment here. Listening with the producer's ear, sometimes some of the best plans that we have don't work out. And sometimes the things that we don't plan at all end up being the most beautiful things we do.
Yeah. And I guess what this kind of comes down to is call screening and call errors in general. Because quite frankly, you never really know what you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, you'll hear coming up, we want to have a conversation about work enemies. Pretty simple concept. You have somebody at work, not that you just don't like, that they're your enemy or you're their enemy. And we were getting calls and we jumped to a guy named Chris, who I think Chris was the guy we were screwing with like a week ago, too. And he kept saying, good morning. Can I tell my story now? And then we just hung up on his ass. Well, he starts to tell a tale that doesn't seem like it has an end. And we had fun screwing with it. Does this become a regular thing or is this a Chris thing? because people were laughing at it, but I don't want to go to the well too much and burn it out.
I also think you can't force it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, we caught lightning in a bottle there.
Right.
All right, well, but, hear it now.
But yeah, it was amazing.
It was fun. We screwed with a caller, and you guys loved it. Enjoy it again now. Tried to have a conversation about work enemies, and it turned into something so much better.
Mike had a, we found something this morning we were going over.
Mm-hmm, found a thing.
I don't know where the hell he found it. You have it right there.
Yeah,
I don't think I have it.
Here, take that. Oh! Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a something out there. It's a survey. You know we love our surveys.
There's a thing.
62% of people say they have an enemy, in all caps, an enemy at work.
An enemy.
Our work enemies are usually the same age as us or older, the same gender as us, and someone we interact with on a daily basis.
An enemy. Yeah. Not just someone you roll your eyes at, but someone that you've got to crack your knuckles before you walk through the door because you know you're going to see him. You're going to see him coming down the hallway. That's when you're like, all right, yeah, yeah. Morning.
Top five reasons people consider them an enemy is they lie to make themselves look good. They criticize other people. They always interrupt.
Keith.
They are passive aggressive. We know someone with the passive aggressiveness.
Oh, yeah.
And they are
I guess you got busy yesterday. I guess you got busy.
Or they are dismissive. Those are all great ones.
Yeah. One that's not on here that I think is a big one, too, is people that feel the need to control. Even though they're not an administrator or in a managerial position, they have to rule over other people.
They're a make-believe administrator.
Or maybe they once were an administrator and they just can't. We know that part.
Can't set down that scepter of power, can they?
No. They at any little chance they get to come walking up behind you and go, hey, I noticed. It's like, okay.
Okay.
Go back into your hole.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
Leave me be. Head back down to the bowels of the building.
And I can't believe this made the list because we've had this go on right here in this very studio, courtesy of me. 7% of people say they've started hating someone at work for cutting their nails at their desk.
Right in the studio.
What are you going to do about it, huh?
I'm telling you, it is the sound of the clippers chomping through that nail. It's not even the clippings. That doesn't even bother me. It's just that sound. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you're right.
Cuts right through me.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, 410-338-1098 if you want to chime in on this. Do you have a work enemy? And why? What is it about that person that has created an enemy out of them?
Yeah, I brought up before, I worked at that court reporting place, and there was a guy that sat behind me, the one thing you just drilled down on, the make-believe administrator. This guy followed the actual boss around like this little hunchback, like Dr. Frankenstein's Igor assistant. And he was on the same level as me, but for some reason, he just made himself the second in command. Had no actual contracted power over anyone else, but he'd bark orders at you. And I was only there for about a year and a half, 2 years, so I just did whatever to kind of keep my nose clean. But other people that had been there for 9, 10 years, I mean, would actively, he'd go, you know, you're supposed to be taking care of the video conference that's going to need to get done by 7 o'clock. Hey, Tim, you. How about that? How about yourself? How about that? Like, okay, the boss isn't going to like it. And then would scurry away back to his desk where he would do nothing. That guy was like the office enemy. No one could stand that guy because he made himself our boss.
I mean, do we have specific enemies?
I have a feeling that we are probably a lot of other people's enemies. I mean, we come to think, if there's like 1 in 10 people in a group are total a-holes and you can't figure out which one it is, hey, spoiler alert, it's you. So if we're having to wonder who the enemies are, that's us.
Well, Speaks, you've had issues with people at other jobs, other stations.
Have
right?
I? You know, I wouldn't want to name anybody from other places publicly. But
what about here? Do you feel you have any enemy? Is such a strong word for me?
Yeah, enemy. No, I mean there are people here, not in the studio, But there are definitely people here that I have grudges against.
But that's okay, because
get him a pen and paper.
What goes around comes around. My father taught me that.
What's coming around is a huge fire axe up against their temple. Right.
I never forget. That's the thing. I'm like an elephant.
Damn, son. And that ass, now I can't stop thinking about this ass that worked at that agency with me. He had one of those dumb Garth Brooks headsets, like, that you play Xbox Live with, or you see like a trucker wear, like the big Bluetooth. I mean, the thing, they're not even trying to hide that it's a headset.
Easy.
Never took a phone call. He never took a phone call. He just wore that thing around the office for the appearance to look important.
Somebody and, here wears one of those.
Oh, well, they take calls on the thing. This guy didn't pick up call one. It was a call center where people would call in to book depositions. There's 10 people in there, got 15 phone calls ringing, and right when that phone would start ringing, man, he'd get busy all of a sudden. He used to say, oh, God, I hate him so much. Mike, I have to track this guy down. I want to beat him with my bare hands. He said he wrote a program to help us track down translators and local private detectives. He didn't write anything. He was using Microsoft Word and just knew how to use Microsoft Word and just typed up this like 900-page document that he just copied and pasted stuff into. And he'd be like, I know how to, I wrote a program. No, you didn't, stupid. It's Microsoft Word. You suck. You didn't write anything.
Take a quick call.
Let's talk to Bill. Yes, Bill in Baltimore. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey, what's up, Bill?
So I used to work at a data entry center about 2 years ago, and there was this guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he initially got promoted before me, even though I was there for about a year and a half, and I hated this guy's guts because he was super cheery. He was just so passive-aggressive, like you guys said, and I hated him for some odd reason. And then he got fired.
There you go.
There you go. All's well that ends well.
Yay.
62% of people have a enemy at work, says a survey. I don't know who the hell did the survey. Don't ask me. 62% of people have an enemy at work. 410-338-1098. Who's your work enemy and why? We don't need names. Just what's going on there. And some of the reasons that people, top five reasons why people become enemies. They lie to make themselves look good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all experienced some of this along the way. They lie to make themselves look good.
Done it.
They criticize other people.
Done it.
They always interrupt. They are passive aggressive and they are dismissive.
Oh God, I'm the work enemy around here. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I've probably been guilty of some of those, as well as been the victim of some of those.
Got some tweets and some texts in here about this, the work enemy. Kitty says, we have a man at work who never went to school to be a funeral director, but insists on telling everyone how the funerals and services are going to go. He's our fake funeral director boss. He is the work enemy. Ashley, I'd love to know the backstory behind this.
How did he become the boss?
That's the thing. He's not. He's one of the fake administrators.
Oh.
If you read the way it reads, is that he's one of those people that pretend to be. He just decides to put himself in a position of power when you're not contractually obligated to be one. Ashley says, I sat next to someone every day for a year. We almost got into a physical fist fight altercation. Would love to know why you guys almost threw down. And as teased earlier, Andy Gonzalez pointed out that our work enemy is none other than Phil Jakubowski. I think Mike might agree with that. Phil, you had to have a talking to once about riding our ass, huh? Constantly busting Mike's bees. But you've actually become a pretty damn good friend. So maybe at one time you were the work enemy, but not anymore. 410-338-1098. Let's go to the phones. Chris in PA. Chris, good morning. Thank you for holding, buddy.
Morning.
Morning.
Hey.
Hello, everybody. How are you guys doing today?
Very well.
Hello.
That's good.
Good.
So, yeah, I have a work enemy. It's this guy that I've known for quite a long time. We actually met when we were kids on a little cruise that we took around Baltimore.
Okay.
And it was a great time. Since then, we kind of split ways, and we got back together because I went back to work with my father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this guy that works with us, his father also works there.
Oh, my God.
And it's just interesting, you know, how he kind of tries to come at me. And I'm really not understanding of this. We've been good friends for a long time, and yet he still tries to ride my butt about a lot of things. But it's kind of
bring him back up. Bring him back up.
And yeah. You know, I've been telling him, look, mm-hmm. this lady's the one for you. I can't force anybody to do anything, but it's like all the signs are there. Together as a couple. And yet he just can't pull the trigger because he's afraid of commitment, I guess.
What the hell is with this guy's problem? Why can't he commit?
I mean, I don't know. I guess she wants to...
Wow, this is just incredible.
It's like, whoa, five kids. I don't know if I can handle that.
Five kids?
Five kids. I know. That's,
what are their, do you know
like
the names?
Lot, but,
what are their names?
Well, they haven't been decided yet. Larry or Siri, maybe Alexa.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Like
I mean,
like...
you know, names like that. You know, Adam.
Oh, that's the funniest thing we've ever done.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, recently I've been coming out and saying that, look, I've been with men before, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love women. I love men. I love people equally. And yet... He still comes at me you know, in this day and age, are we over that kind of insensitivity? Are we over that?
I am in lockstep with you, ma'am.
Is this a joke?
I appreciate the bravery of Chris to share the story. When did you first realize you kind of were the way you were?
Oh, well, you know,
no! Keep it up. I need it.
Yeah. Back in Orlando, I was with a man one time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, at first I was scared of it, and I was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. But I figured, well, you know, why not roll the bones and switch it up a little bit?
All right.
Switch it up a little bit.
You got it. Sometimes variety is the spice of sexual life. Am I right or am I right, Chris?
You are absolutely 100% right.
Well, thank you for the call. Thank you for sharing.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, thanks for checking in on this today.
Oh, no problem. You got
that was the best call you've ever taken.
Hey, what? What?
I don't know.
I don't even know what the hell happened. Five kids, Orlando, he's sleeping with dudes.
He had sex with a man, something about a cruise he went on with a childhood friend. He was
working
with his dad.
We asked about work enemies.
Well, I do not know what happened.
What happened?
I don't know, but I'm taking a quick screenshot of that number, and there we are. That is on the answer immediately list.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Meat and cheese. Josh, were you so surprised to find so many people that weren't, not even just not getting, that you don't like to put meat and cheese together? And you made it very clear, it's not an interest of yours. Like, I don't like mushrooms, I don't like onions. I don't care what you do, if you put mushrooms or onions in it, I'm not going to eat them. I don't care. Oh, I'll dice them up real small. I'm not eating them. Keep it out of my food. Okay, I'm 40, I don't have to eat what I don't want to eat. How many people were so insistent on helping you? No. What if you tried a taco with cheddar?
Mike Anderson.
Well, I'm still pushing that agenda.
My, you know, social media feeds were blowing up with suggestions and just, you know, you can't eat this and you can't, like, declarations of what I can't eat. First of all, I grew up in a home that didn't allow it, but everybody has different tastes. It's like not everybody eats the same thing.
You can't dunk a chicken wing into blue cheese.
That's right.
Oh, my God!
Now I'm doubly love you.
Oh, my God!
It's so...
I want you to have some kishka.
It's just, had a steak with butter, a dollop of butter on top of it? You might have. You gotta be careful.
I don't know.
You know, you go out to steakhouses a lot of times. The way they finish a good steak... without even really letting you know, is they just put a dollop of butter on top of it and let it melt.
And it looks like the juices of the steak, but it's actually just butter and cheese. Do you think you had to have at some point ingested some heavily non-kosher stuff because someone didn't let you know, hey, that
probably
that chili definitely had diced bacon in it or shellfish
you know,
or something.
There's definitely a good chance that that
happened. Well, have fun in hell.
Yep. Josh Burns coming up as we force him to eat meat and cheese, but he holds his ground and refuses to do so. I'm behind the curtain. Speaks. You, as a proud member of the tribe, Tel Aviv's favorite son, the pride of Israel, you adhere to a kosher diet.
Well,
for the most part.
And well, when I was a kid, I grew up in a kosher home, in an Orthodox Jewish home.
But you're still not eating. I'm not seeing you eat bacon. I'm not seeing you eat shellfish. Trust me, there's a lot of members of your tribe out there that are wrapping bacon around shrimp and lobbing it down their holes.
Right. Ooh, but I'm not a saint by any, whatever the word would be after saint.
Which one of us is?
The thing which I've talked about, I told producer Mike multiple times, I grew up in a home like that, so I am not. I never grew to like, you know, certain foods, and I never had interest in tasting them.
So this isn't even like a kosher thing.
Well, the crab, the shellfish thing and the bacon thing is I still feel I shouldn't.
No, you'll burn in the flames of hell if you ever have a bacon-wrapped coconut shrimp. Meat and cheese, though. The classic combo, the cheese steak, the cheese burger, the cheese dog, chili cheese dog. You're not doing the meat cheese combo.
Yeah, like a.
Well, that's a very religious thing. Like, really strict, strict Orthodox kosher households have separate kitchens.
Right, right.
There's two sections of the kitchen where there's dairy in one section and the meat in the other,
right? Silverware is separate. Some even have separate dishwashers.
Right. So, growing up that way.
Look at Mike. He's so surprised.
You never do that?
I'd heard of different kitchens, but I did not realize how deep this actually
God,
went.
You're such a redneck.
Yeah, I am.
Well, Mike kind of, you know, was talking about this, and I was like, yeah, I'm like, I know that. Like, that's a thing for Jewish people. They don't mix, you know, dairy and meat. And then Mike's like, yeah, but that means like he's never had a cheeseburger. And I went,
yeah,
wow, you're right. And like you just said, that means he never had cheese steak.
A cheese steak.
A meat lover's pizza.
A meat lover's pizza.
A pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, Mike was texting me
the other day. Think of all the combos.
I was losing my mind the other day.
Yeah, he was texting me all these questions. So you haven't had a cheese steak, and I was answering. And then he'd go down the list of food. And with after every one of my answers, he would respond with an emoji. Is that not an emoji? A meme,
like a mind blowing. Like,
yeah, mind blowing. Like it got more dramatic every response.
Yeah, I was reading an article the other night about cultured meat and how it's, you know, probably the next big thing. This lab made meat, and the fact that now if they have lab made meat, kosher Jews will be able to eat it with cheese on top. And when I read that, I almost flipped my desk over. I'm like, wait. Kosher Jewish people don't eat cheese on meat.
No. I thought we've talked about this.
Which is like the greatest
like
combination 7,000
times
on the world.
On the show.
I always knew about the pork products, okay? Swine is filth and shellfish are bottom feeders. But I figured, there's cheeses in the Jewish community. I'm pretty sure I've had nice meats and cheese trays.
Yeah, I had Swiss cheese last night.
There you go.
Not on a sandwich.
But you're not slapping that on a nice slice of Jewish deli at all. Those things are separate.
But I have no interest in doing that.
You just never developed the taste.
Yeah, and there's no craving.
But you have to realize from us outside looking in that that's insane because I've always said a hamburger doesn't even, there's no such thing as a hamburger. It's just always a cheeseburger.
Yes.
It's anyone that orders a hamburger is a maniac. Always put cheese on the burger. Always.
If you're a bacon burger person, I cross the street. If I see you, I cross the street. If there's not a slice of cheese separating the bacon and the burger.
It should be standard.
Well, I'm a little surprised you guys don't have breakfast gefilte fish.
What is that? What is the reasoning?
I have no idea.
Between the meat and the cheese thing.
I learned when I was a kid in Jewish school, but I don't remember.
I mean, I'm sure it had a practical application hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure it had some sort of health reason.
Yeah.
Yes, health. Health is, I think, the main reason. The main reason is it was very good. Mike is a good Jew.
Yeah. I tell you, when I went to that 7 Mile Market, I thought I walked into Planet Fitness because it was just health from aisle to aisle.
Yeah, that's. I think that was the main reason.
Heard a lot of coughing in there.
There was the thinking back in the day that it was not good to mix. And actually, when the rule is, if you eat meat, let's say at 12 o'clock, you have to wait 6 hours before you can eat dairy. Some people have a tradition of 3 hours.
So you don't even want it mixing in the stomach.
No.
Wow.
Dude, listen, your people have been through.
We like torturing.
I can tell. Unimaginable health. I mean, walks through the desert. You guys were building buildings for pharaohs that you had no interest in doing. Do we even need to get started on WW2? I feel like at this point, you guys should be able to just dip a Snickers bar in barbecue sauce, wrap it in bacon, and shove it up your nostril. Like, you should be able to eat whatever you want. The hell your people have been through throughout the centuries.
It says that the...
Quit doing it to yourself.
This law that is in place, it's the milk and meat in Jewish law. It refers to a specific foreign religious practice in which young goats were cooked in their own mother's milk.
Well, that makes me want to die.
Aiming to obtain supernatural assistance to increase the yield of their flocks.
Damn!
So, yeah.
I can't confirm or deny that.
It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
Yeah, so, yesterday...
it's Wikipedia.
I pled with Spiegel. I pled with him to at least try a cheesesteak, which I think out of all the different meat and cheese combinations is at the pinnacle. The zenith of the meat cheese combination.
I gotta go cheeseburger over cheesesteak.
Yeah, well, that's what Mike suggested after.
The cheeseburgers that gotta be the one seed of the meat cheese combo. Actually, I'd even put cheesesteak in the third place. I go cheeseburger pepperoni pizza cheesesteak.
But they're all very close.
You're asking him to what, Mike? You're asking him to
just
go
give
against
it a try.
All,
just
all of his
give it
religious
a shot.
Beliefs, all of his constitutions.
And I'm on a diet too.
I just want him to experience it at least once. Because when was the last time? Have you ever tried the combination?
He can't believe it.
His brain can't process this.
You've already wasted 40 plus years of your life.
Everything is a waste in my life.
It's not.
This is just one other thing.
Just one other hellish obstacle to overcome. Are you allowed to chew and spit out?
No.
Damn it. Trying to find loopholes here in your culture. I just feel like you guys have gotten a rough deal.
At least according to Josh, at this point, it's not even the religious... rules that deters him. It's the fact that he finds it repulsive.
Well, it's like a split thing for me. Like the bacon and the shellfish, I just couldn't absolutely do because I still feel like that's wrong.
Melissa online too with a suggestion of a possibility, maybe wet the whistle. Wow. Melissa, good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
So, Spiegel, I was wondering, do you ever eat chicken parm? Because I'm also a Jew, but since chickens don't make milk, I feel like that's justified.
Chicken what?
Chicken parmesan.
Chicken parmesan, yeah.
What is...
It's just a chicken breast parmesan.
Did he just ask what is chicken parmesan?
What is that? Parmesan in the chicken? It's cooked in the chicken?
They slather it on top of some sauce.
I've never eaten... But that wouldn't be kosher.
But she said that it's a loophole because the chicken doesn't make milk.
It's meat.
Okay, sorry, Melissa, we just got confirmation. You are burning in hell, and good luck. Spend the rest of your days here topside doing whatever you want because you're going to fry in the flames of eternity. Godspeed. Terrible juice.
Even the thought of that, just a chicken breast with a slice of cheese on top to you.
I mean, I could eat it.
It's disgusting.
I could eat it, and I probably wouldn't feel guilty about eating it, but I just, yeah, it is. It's gross. I like cheese with a chicken? Why would I want to do that?
Chicken parmesan is one of the most classic dishes on the planet.
I didn't even know what it was.
How do you not know what chicken... I am leaving. I'm getting in my car. Listen to me, all of you. I'm driving to the nearest cliff, and I'm just jumping off. I'm done. The guy doesn't even know what chicken parmesan is. How do I work with him every day?
It honestly hurts my soul to know that you're missing on so many incredible things.
I grew up sheltered.
Let it go.
I can't let it go.
I didn't know this stuff.
No, let it go.
Our friend Barb makes a great point. At this point, Josh, you, 34 years old, if you eat this combination at this
sick.
Point, you would power vomit so hard because your stomach is just not used to it. The minute you ate this, it would just be an absolute disaster flying out of you.
But it would taste great.
Oh, God.
It does taste great, though, Speaks.
Yeah.
It does taste great.
It'll taste great coming back up, too.
Like a bacon cheeseburger. Is one of the greatest things on the planet.
Some onions on there.
Okay, Pat, hold the onions. In a flavor combination many of us are familiar with, something Josh just didn't grow up eating, so it's foreign to him. It doesn't appeal to him. The classic meat and cheese combination.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger, cheese steak, pepperoni pizza. Some people are making some suggestions about a ground beef. Taco, shredded cheese, 410-338-1098. Love to talk to some of our dear friends in the tribe, some of our Jewish friends. We just had one check in prior to Keith. That's definitely going to burn in Hebrew lava. What did she eat, she said? We had a caller check in, said she was eating what?
The chicken parm?
Chicken parm, thank you. Eli Manning, or Peyton. Chicken parm, you taste so good. Some people are suggesting. Well, let's let Chris in Pennsylvania make the suggestion. Josh, this might be a workaround to A, ease you into it if you ever want to try it, and B, keep you from burning for eternity.
All right, sir.
Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I had an idea. What about simply using vegan kosher products, like say the veggie steak stuff?
Yeah, vegan cheese, which ain't cheese.
I've never tried that. That sounds kind of gross.
I accidentally at Trader Joe's one time bought some like vegan mozzarella, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it doesn't have the consistency and mouthfeel, but yeah, Mudge makes a bunch of that stuff from time to time. She'll put like vegan cheese on a taco, and I tell you, if you mix it with a bunch of other stuff, if you get like the ground beef, you get tomatoes, a guac, a decent flour tortilla, and you put like a vegan cheese crumble on there, man, you can't tell the difference. It's not bad. Now, the vegan cheese pizza, I would rather shingle the roof of my shed.
Ow!
Than eat that crap. Trader Joe's, you need to go back to the drawing board on your vegan cheese pizza. Because that stuff tastes like the back of the television in here. 410-338-1098. Let's go to Joe in Baltimore. Just talking about this food combination that just, it doesn't pique Josh's interest. What about you, bud?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah!
All right, so good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Hey, so don't listen to what people say, and Mike Bananas, even though he's the best producer there is. But if you can't eat it, you can't eat it because of your religion and stuff. No big deal. With me, Justin played a psychopath music. I don't like peanut butter, so I don't do peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, really?
Now, it's not a nut allergy. You just don't like it?
I just don't like it.
No, that's crazy.
That's a crazy person talking.
Yeah, have you tried different jellies?
I love jelly. I just can't stand peanut butter. That's the devil's food. Oh.
My mouth waters when I get near. my mouth will literally water when I get near a jar of Jif. There's a few foods that'll make my mouth actually salivate. When a steak is sizzling, when I get a big basket of wings and peanut butter. The thought of getting that scoop. My mouth right
what
now.
What is it
watering.
About peanut butter? I don't get it.
It's ever since I was a kid. Just never liked it. Can't stand the smell of it. And it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those foods. Everybody has a different palate. Everybody likes certain things. Everybody calls each other crazy for not liking this other stuff.
Not everybody's a psychopath like you.
Wow. Someone checking in from the loony bin there. That's a lot of fun. Let's talk to Ben in Pikesville.
Oh.
Ben, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, friend?
Shalom.
Shalom.
Great. How are you?
Very well. Proud member of the tribe checking in. You're on Jew to Jew with Josh Spiegel.
There we go. Hey, what's going on, Spiegel?
Hi.
Hi. I'm in a kind of a similar situation to you. I grew up as an Orthodox Jew, did not eat meat and milk and, you know, all the full rules, no pork, all that. As I grew up, I guess I kind of stopped following the rules, but I still don't really eat meat and cheese very often because I'm just used to it, and I just kind of don't, even though I don't really care that much about the rules anymore.
Now, yeah, which one of us Gentiles screwed it up for you? Which one of us Christian succubuses pulled you into eating something strange? Do you remember when you broke from the pack?
Not really. As I moved out of the house, I guess, you know, some people stay. I mean, I'm still definitely, you know, very much a Jew. I identify as a Jew, and I probably still kind of follow most of the rules by default. I just don't feel the need to, I guess, anymore, but I still kind of do, if that makes any sense.
What
does to me.
Do you remember any of the times that you did have, like, what'd you have, a cheeseburger, cheesesteak? What was the meat and cheese combo?
I've had a cheeseburger. I've gone, you know, I've been to Five Guys and stuff. Wow. You know, I've had, you know, I don't really limit myself, but I tend to shy away from it. When I have it occasionally, I'll get like an upset stomach from it.
Oh, like that was my next question. Yeah, when you introduce something new, like when someone's gone vegetarian or vegan for a while and they just freak out and take the bite of a bacon cheeseburger and then it's nothing but nausea and stomach cramps when you reintroduce that element into their gut.
You know what that is? That's God punishing you.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's God. Yep. That's God checking in through your digestive tract saying you're about to crap your britches. Do you think Josh would be forgiven if he tried just... I think of all things, a pepperoni pizza might be the easiest way to ease
into
it. Yeah,
I mean, Spiggs, here's a guy on the phone. He's very much like you. Mm-hmm. He's
burning
in
hell.
Still keeps to the faith, but he's just... said, you know what? I'm going to have a cheeseburger today. That's okay.
He sounds like trouble to me.
No.
What kind of work do you do?
I work in the pest control industry, commercial pest control, mostly restaurants.
Okay. Oh, I might put you on hold and then he tells where not to eat.
I know, like, several Jewish people who work in the pest control.
Is that a big business for the Jewish?
I don't know. I never thought it was.
Actually, there are several Jewish pest control companies, Jewish-owned, in the Pikesville area.
Yeah,
actually.
I know.
I actually don't work for any of them. I did once, but I do not anymore. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a random little niche industry, but yeah.
Do we know each other?
I don't know if I've met you, but okay. I know that I used to. I mean, I'm almost 30. To give a reference.
Never mind. I don't want to know anything.
No, hold on. Okay. I want to hear this. Go ahead.
It's cool. No, I mean, I know your dad used to sit a few rows in front of me in synagogue. I grew up in Silver Spring.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Yes.
So your family sat a few rows behind his family at the synagogue.
Well, I'm curious to know your last name, but I don't want you to say it on the air if you don't want to.
Right. No, I'll you want me to text it or something? Or
yeah,
I don't know.
Text your last name. I'm just curious.
Josh, give him your cell phone real quick.
No.
I'll text it to you.
What is it? 56332?
Yeah. No, you can just 410-338-1098.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, I've been texting you guys all morning. That's me. I just texted my last name.
Okay. Yeah. Check in. I'm very curious.
Can you write it down? Write down his last name.
Write down the last name. You got it. Write it down and hold it up to a hold it up.
I want
to
see how surprised
I'm very
I get.
Curious who this guy
just
is.
Curious. Wow, somebody that actually knows.
Schlamozel. Who is that?
Schlamozel.
Austin Pfeffer Incorporated.
Oh, like I'm gonna remember. That's like the most common Jewish name.
That's the Jones of the Jewish world.
I'm sorry, I don't know you. I might recognize you, but I don't know.
Fine. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, thank you for checking in, buddy. We appreciate it. Enjoy the flames of hell licking at your ass. Let's go to Jesse. We'll take one more here. Jesse, good morning.
Can I just say, is it a little creepy that he knew exactly how many rows behind me?
Yeah, you guys all know each other.
He said a few rows. Hey, come on.
Josh's father wore an ash gray coat, and Josh's mother's hair was up, and her makeup shined in the light of the synagogue. What's up, Jesse?
What's up, man?
What do you not eat?
What's up?
A lot of things that people love. Mayonnaise, I hate. Mushrooms, I hate.
Sucks.
Pickles,
I
hate.
I love pickles.
The funny thing is, when my mother was pregnant with me, she claims that she craved mayonnaise sandwiches.
Oh, I bet she did.
Anything slathered in mushrooms, steak or a burger, as long as it had a bunch of mushrooms. And then she craved pickles also.
See?
That's all stuff that I cannot stand.
Wow. That's how she got pregnant.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So let's get behind the curtain on Behind the Curtain with an idea you'll hear sort of unfold coming up. There's a conversation from something Mike found about a woman whose husband wants to sue her because she put up this viral post about him having a micro penis, but not realizing it until they were married because he was holding off with the sex and all that. And then we get into discussions of what a micro penis is. And you'll hear us start to say, and I think Josh, it was from you, shockingly, of all people, because you don't peddle in filth. You say, hey, what if we all on the morning show measured our stuff?
Yeah, that's right.
Took that to our post-show meeting, and I think we decided to hold off. Was it a cancellation or was it a hold off?
It sounded like a postponement to me.
Okay, so it'll still happen, but maybe this week when someone leaves town. You just have a tendency of when we do something like really blue or macabre or untoward, that there just happens to be a gigantically powerful man in the building at the same time. Or, this is really behind the curtain, right around 9:30 each day, we'll be looking at horrible things on our computer, trying to do prep or make each other laugh or whatever, and then this sweet woman comes walking into the studio to do some paperwork, and just the monitors are covered in the worst things you could possibly look at during the work day. So sometimes we have to pull back on the throttle of filth just a little bit, but you can sleep soundly knowing that before the month of March is finished, you'll know how long we all are. And who's got a micro penis? Well, this husband sure did, and he was mad about it on Behind the Curtain.
Where do we even start with this?
He's a man. Where do you start? Mike finds this, and I'll just read the top. Husband threatens to sue after his wife's post about his micro penis goes viral. A little over 2 weeks ago, a woman on Reddit posted a question, "Am I the a-hole?" subreddit, a group where people ask one another if they've done something wrong. And I guess you could call this couple a bit of a throwback.
It seemed like it was...
It was more like him than
her. Yeah, this is not a throwback couple. This was this guy trying to cover this up.
How did he not think this was not going to come to light at some point during their marital affairs?
Newlywed husband wanted to wait until marriage for sex and just surprised me with a micro penis on the honeymoon, she writes. She explained that the couple had only dated for 6 months before getting engaged and were married before the year was out. So engaged 6 months, married within a year. Husband, while not religious, insisted on waiting until marriage to have sex, just saying that he was old-fashioned like that. So he wasn't really religious, just claiming to be old-fashioned, wanted to wait until marriage. They tried to fool around, but she was stopped before it went too far. So this guy's trying everything he can. Then on their honeymoon, they finally try and do what married couples do. She found out that her husband has a micro penis. Reportedly around 1 1/4 inches.
That is a candy corn.
Apparently it's a hormonal defect where the penis doesn't grow to full length. The woman said she wasn't upset about the length of her husband's penis, but was hurt that he lied to her. I'm thinking it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think there's culpability on each side with this.
No, I mean, I think it's both. She was upset with the size and that she was lied to. She says she wasn't upset about the length. I'm pretty sure you were.
Yeah, I think she's upset at both, but I got to put a little bit of the onus on him that if you're going to get her wrapped up in matrimony...
A little bit of the onus, all of it goes on him.
You got to at some point say, hey, listen...
This is all on him.
My mouth game is strong because anything from the waist down is just the kiddie pool.
Am I the a-hole for reading into this and being upset that I waited until my wedding night to find out that he probably isn't as quote-unquote old-fashioned that he says? I kind of feel lied to, like a half-truth or something was intentionally withheld from me. Yes, yes, and yes! So yeah. Now this went viral, so now he's trying to sue her.
That is a nightmare, though. The world, I mean, I guess we don't know their identities, but the world knowing that you have a micro penis?
Oh, this is the internet. Someone will somehow backtrace the username IP something something. They find his ass. The next thing you know, there's 1,000 people out front of his office pointing at his nothingness and having a laugh. This is a life ruin.
Yeah, you got to move to Europe at this point.
Oh, you got to go to Siberia and just mine coal while drinking vodka with a Kalashnikov. That's horrifying.
But yeah, this article just got me thinking about guys that have to deal with this too.
Because, I mean, I didn't do any research about it, but I wonder how prevalent a micro penis is.
You're the opposite of it. Let's be honest there.
It says the average male is 5.2.
Old Lesnar over here.
When's the last time any of you measured?
I haven't.
Do we tonight, forever. Guys? I mean, Josh, you don't really enjoy interacting with yours other than the court-ordered evacuation that your doctor and lawyer make you do.
I would do it if it's a group thing. My only thing,
17.
My thing is, my worry is that, you know, I have a measuring stick that pulls out of the thing.
Like a tape measure.
A tape measure. And it has a little...
measuring stick that pulls... What is this? A measuring stick that pulls out of the thing. It's called a tape measure, ladies and gentlemen.
And it has that little metal thing at the end.
Yeah, be careful.
That sticks down.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't want... I'm afraid it'll get stuck in my urethra.
Yeah, that would take serious effort. And you know what? I almost would hope it happened. Because
what?
That would add, because
I do too.
It would add an extra 2 hours to the break. If you accidentally got the end of a tape measure...
a whole morning.
Caught right. In your Benedict Cumberbatch.
Local newsman
uses power
rush to
tool.
Emergency room with tape.
Well, just give us a ballpark with your hands, Spieg. Spread your fingers apart.
Oh, I don't even know.
Like this?
I don't look. No.
How about circumference? We talking like yay?
I never look. I don't know. I
touch it.
He's hung like a tuna can.
Yeah. Yeah, like a Dinty Moore beef stew can.
Yes.
I think tonight we need to... Do we do a measurement?
Now,
are we doing
this.
A pre and post?
If we do a measurement, the myth of the Reardon will be shattered.
No, it won't. I promise you not.
Trust
in comparison
me, it will.
To us.
Trust me, it will. I bet you somebody else in this room is bigger.
I've seen the candle. That thing was a lamp without the shade.
Nah, it's. I'm very average. The myth has grown out of control.
What if Mike's got smaller when it got erect? It goes from 5 to 2.
Are you at 100% at all times? Are you one of those people, basically?
You mean I'm a shower, not a grower?
Right.
No, I'm a decent grower. I mean, like right now is not where it ends up.
No, mine is in poor form right now.
Yeah.
Poor form.
Dare I say I'm an extreme grower. Extreme.
Oh, yeah, there's times
grower.
Where it's like, you know.
I look down, I'm like, I have a child's penis.
Let me see. Hold on.
Oh, God.
Jesus. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
I saw you just reaching for your... We just all saw you reaching for
your
penis.
I'm just feeling where I'm at. Yeah, I'm definitely a grower. Here, come on, you want to feel it?
No,
I can't.
We need
I
to
can't.
Go through this. Right now.
All right.
I'm just saying, right now.
Like, okay.
Feel where yours is at right now. Feel like...
It's terrible.
It's bad. Real bad.
It's so terrible.
It can get really...
Like, I would not be comfortable with a woman seeing me right now. At all.
Yeah, but at least it grows. This guy in the story, he had a micro penis. Even when he was aroused, it was only 1.25 inches.
That's like a cocktail onion. I mean, like a garbanzo bean.
Yeah, okay. How do you... And I'm already self-conscious enough as it was as a teenager trying to engage in acts. If I had something like this, I wouldn't even attempt.
But if I measure tonight, I have to do it really fast because I'll get excited, but then if I don't continue to stimulate, I retreat very fast.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're like a strike
team.
How
fast?
Pretty fast because I'll... What's been happening lately is, like, I had to relieve pressure this morning.
Oh, my God!
And, no, it's a medical thing.
Uh-huh.
And but what happens is I'll, you know, get aroused and I'll be lying in bed on my back like Robert Kraft was in the spa. But, of course, nobody's in my room except me. And So I get aroused, and then I have to walk to the bathroom to get a very thick wad of toilet paper.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna go home.
And
my eyes are watering.
So by the time I reach the bathroom,
I have to fetch my Shamwell.
I've already lost like 80%.
80. Wow.
So I gotta go back to bed. Okay. And restart, pull the ignition.
Why didn't you get the things beforehand?
Because I just did. I'm usually too lazy to get out of bed. It's been like two weeks since I did this.
You're already asleep. You wake up. You don't.
Yeah,
want to get up.
I just I'm very tired lately.
So
very tired.
You're getting those nocturnal.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Let's just keep it moving here.
Yahtzee.
Maybe we'll be measuring tonight.
Maybe we'll see after the meeting. And remember,
probably
good things
not.
Come in small packages.
I would bet that this will be shut down
as Rick Power walks past the window, clenching his teeth. Whoops! Not allowed to say it.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Saturday morning, Justin Scott and Spiegel Behind the Curtain. We're going to get a little deeper into some of the breaks. And Friday morning, it was the third installment of the JSS Combine, 2019 JSS Combine. We like to, whenever the NFL has their Combine, we like to do our own little in-house Combine. A little competition amongst the members of the show. And apparently our boss hates it. He told us so much, this much in the meeting after the show on Friday, where he brought up all three events we did. The Diet Coke Dash, running down to the first floor, getting a Coke, bringing it back up and chugging it. The spinning in the chair and shooting the baskets. And on Friday, we did the sound effects trivia, where we needed to guess what the sound effects were. And our boss he didn't like any of it.
Yeah, I understood his point that it was a little too visual. That is one thing I think we need to work on, is describing what's happening as it's happening a little better. But I thought the third one we did was solid. The sound effects recognition.
Yeah, that's the one you're going to hear coming up, the sound effects recognition. We're going to play that back here in just a minute. And I told you that in the meeting. After we left our meeting, we went back to the office. And I said I thought that was the most fully conceptualized, fully formed idea that we had. And I thought it was the one that would be the best for the listener, the most fun for the listener. I felt like the audio element of it was great. The trivia element of it was great. You playing the short clip and then playing the extended clip was great. I thought it was such a fully formed concept that it was a no-lose idea, but he didn't like it. And I was just like, if that's not good enough for you, then what is?
Yeah, and he argued that maybe it was too inside baseball, that if you weren't a hardcore listener that listens to 4 hours of the show every day, you really wouldn't have appreciated it. But like I was telling you back in the office,
I thought it was fully formed enough that anybody could have enjoyed it.
Right, we were playing essentially funny or interesting clips that we use on the show all the time. Justin has a gigantic sound effect bank. He plays these things all the time. And I just thought it was interesting to hear the short clip and then try to figure out what it was. And even if you weren't a hardcore listener, like I said, I feel like you could appreciate that. It's kind of a very typical radio bit to play a mystery sound and have the guests try to guess what it is. But
right. But he didn't like it. So I guess another idea we got to throw in the trash. We don't even have any more idea. Everything we do is just not good enough. It's like I just want him to program the show for me.
Yeah, you come up with the bits.
It's just like you tell us what to do and we'll do it, because, you know, that whole hire the right people and let them do their thing doesn't apply anymore, because it's never, whatever we decide to do is always just never good.
You're listening right now. We're going to play the segment coming up. You judge for yourself and then hit us up on social media and let us know what you think.
Yeah, there it is. It's the, what is it? The sound effect recognition test. 2019 Justin Scott and Spiegel Combine. In the midst of the JSS Combine, the NFL Combine's going on, where players are displaying their physical and mental prowess in front of NFL scouts, hoping to woo them with their abilities. So we like to do the same here at 98 Rock. We did the Diet Coke Dash. We ran down to the first floor, ran back up to the third floor, chugged the Diet Coke. Yesterday we got spun around in office chairs. Had to sink 10 crumpled up papers into a basket.
Strength, conditioning.
And now today we embark on the mental challenge.
Yes, Mike Anderson, what is today's mental combine challenge?
Today will be a test of your JSS sound effect recognition acuity.
That's a mouthful.
All right, so The way it's going to work is Mike is going to play from his Stinger computer some sound effects or some quotes you've probably heard on the show throughout the history of the show. One of the members of the show, one of the three primaries, will raise their hand. You'll hear a ding. That means, say, for Scott gets his hand up first, and if he correctly identifies the origin to Mike's liking, I guess, Mike, you're the judge to Mike's
liking.
Yeah,
I'll be the judge. A lot of these are from news audio that Josh has played over the years.
Well, then he's got a feast freaking out in advance.
But he's also got a mental, well, go ahead, speak.
Memory. I have bad memory.
Yes. Okay, we're in this throes of early onset dementia over here. I think, Scott, this might actually play to your strength.
Yeah, and some of these go back to 2014.
Oh, wow.
Going deep.
My God.
All right,
deep.
Mike.
These are all very common sound effects that you will hear or have heard on this show for years.
So Mike will play the sound effect. Someone will put their hand in the air. Once you know it, and then we'll see if it happens. Mike, please take it away. How many sound effects will
you,
we be playing, by the way? How many
have we
play?
9 different sound effects. Right. When you think you have the answer, raise your hand, and you will hear this sound effect.
Oh,
okay. And if that person, the first person, gets it wrong, you will have the chance to steal.
Oh, I like to steal. Okay.
All right, here we go. Mike Anderson, please.
All right, sound effect number 1. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Justin?
Road rage incident. Josh Spiegel's news.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Oh, my God.
Now, what happens?
Oh, my God.
Next, who steals? What?
If you know it,
if
just
you know
try
it,
and
raise
steal.
Your hand.
Oh, okay.
Spiegel is very confused. He's hating every second.
No, I just don't understand anything.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I even have that over here.
I don't know it.
Son of a bee.
All right. Nobody getting this one?
No, what is it?
All right, here is the source audio.
Oh, my God.
Damn, I was going to get an apartment over there, too.
Not now.
They're cheaper now.
This guy is on the freaking ledge. Look at this. Oh, my God.
Where?
Do they see him? Oh, my God.
Hurry up.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
What is it? What was it?
I don't know. I
can't remember.
Is it a jumper?
I remember hearing it, but I don't know what it is.
March 27th, 2014. A Houston construction worker whose harrowing escape from a burning building was caught on video.
He jumped off the burning building. That building was on fire.
It was on fire.
I still don't remember.
Let me hear the drop.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Damn. I had no idea.
This is fun. Let's go again. Next one.
Clip.
Number 2.
Oh, my God, y'all.
Damn it. This was the tractor trailer that went off the side of 95 and exploded, and this guy was standing there watching it, and he went, oh, my God, yo.
Correct.
Oh, my God, yo.
Yes.
My trailer, yo. Check it out, yo. Check this out, yo.
I didn't know that
yo.
One.
Yo.
Yo.
Point for Scott.
That was December 17th, 2016. The crash involving dozens of vehicles and a tractor trailer shut down Interstate 95 in South Baltimore on Saturday morning.
All right.
Two fatalities.
Yo! Oh, my God, yo.
Number 3.
Come on in, boys.
Got it.
Justin.
Home invasion, old lady, rifle.
Damn it. I knew that one.
Somebody's kicking and beating on my door trying to get in. I got up close to the door, and I said, come on in, boys.
Come on in.
I didn't know that
Peace
one either. Wow.
I knew that one. Damn
will.
It. I'll take care of you.
Oh, she was the best. God, I love her.
Right. Come on
one,
in,
one.
Boys.
Scott and Justin.
Sound effect number 4.
Oh, my God, and there goes his load.
Oh, Scott Reardon.
Tractor trailer out of control. And goes up the ramp, flips over, and spills all of his stuff.
Correct!
There he is, coming back down. Oh, my God, and there goes his load. Oh, my God. It's a beer truck.
The beer truck.
Oh, the beer truck.
Everybody's thirsty.
There goes his load.
Oh, my God.
All right, Mike Anderson, if you would, please.
Sound effect number 5.
Take a nap many times as I can.
Justin! Old lady, birthday, annoying reporter. They brought her a mug, and she didn't care at all. She just wanted to die.
Correct!
She's enjoying some coffee this morning because, Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
Yes!
She is very tired. That's actually, I heard, your favorite activity to do at the center here is to take a little nap.
Take a nap many times as I can.
Oh, yeah. Get
that stupid reporter. That's get out of that woman's face. She's waiting to die.
Her die.
Yes, that was February 2016. Good Day Spokane anchor Nicole Mishk interviewed 110-year-old Flossie Dickey on her birthday.
God, Josh's news is a treasure trove.
I don't remember the... I mean, I remember some of the stories once you play the full thing, but...
Not the clip.
No, you do so much over there.
You know, you're the one impossible. That's inundated with all this type of crap. You got to eject this stuff out of the back of your brain.
There's still time to recover. How many? We have four more sound effects.
We have four
more. Time. Gentlemen, are you ready for sound effect number six?
Yeah. Scott!
That was the guy that did Duster.
Damn it!
I'm addicted to air duster. Open your eyes!
Yes. Yeah, he used to inhale duster.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Best.
Hey, what's up, bitch?
Yeah, that's it.
Now I got them back now.
Sound effect number seven. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes. I really wanted to see her really bad.
I know
Justin,
what it is.
Miley Cyrus concert canceled.
How are you feeling right now?
Oh.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Pretty bad. I really wanted to see her really bad.
I knew it was a concert. I couldn't.
I have Alzheimer's. Yeah. No other explanation.
It was Miley Cyrus, right?
That was correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
It was April 8th, 2014. Miley Cyrus cancels Charlotte concert after coming down with the flu.
All right. How many clips left?
We have two more left.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Spiegel, you have. I don't think you can recover at this point.
Oh.
Here we
sound
go.
Effect number eight.
When I saw myself pooping, I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Scott!
There was a camera installed in the bathroom, and the guy was videotaping people pooping.
And where was he putting them?
What do you mean? Where was he putting what?
The video.
On YouTube. No, I made that up.
I'll give it to you. Close enough.
When I saw myself pooping, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. I had to think because, you know, you don't like document everywhere you went to the restroom at. So it's just very strange. It took me a while to kind of pinpoint where it was. 3 weeks and I'm a poop can pretty much. So it's 3 weeks and everybody's seen me poop. That's terrible.
June 6, 2014, Chesterfield, Missouri police officer accused of recording restroom patrons and posting them to a porn site.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, final clip for the JSS SFX quote combine. Mike Anderson.
All right, number nine.
Who does that?
I'll try.
Spiegel.
Is it a restaurant food fight?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Who does that?
This happened last year.
This is the most recent
it's
one.
So fresh in my mind.
This is the most recent clips.
Can you give us a hint?
It was in the summer.
Who?
June 1st.
Does that?
Who does
Scott.
That?
Damn it.
Was it a guy going to the bathroom outside or something like that?
Incorrect.
Can I try?
Spiegel. Who?
Did somebody disrobe in public?
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Who does that?
I have no recollection.
Listen to the background noise.
Who does that?
Is that a lawnmower? What about the lawnmower?
Guy got his foot chopped off by a lawnmower.
I'll try. Somebody attacked someone with a lawnmower.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
June 1st, 2018, neighbor calls police on a 12-year-old boy for mowing the wrong lawn.
Yes. So we are tied 3-3, correct?
Anna has the score. What is the score? Talking to your mic, go ahead.
Justin 3, Scott 4, and Spiegel.
No. Yeah! Damn it! Scott Reardon hit the win!
This is fascinating.
2019.
This is fascinating.
I won the Diet Coke Dash.
Damn it.
I won the spinning.
Damn it.
I won the trivia. Damn what it. Else you got, Combine?
Damn it.
Very strange.
Damn it.
What's so strange?
Our brains.
Your brain is a rotted, fetid mess.
Oh,
you're fine. You're not dying.
No, it's the early onset of a stroke.
Oh, my God, yo.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain Saturday morning. Thanks for being here. Coming up, you're going to hear the break where we crown our first listener of the month, the segment I say lasts 3 months before we can it.
Jeez. Why do you think that?
It's not resonating with me for some reason. I feel like this is going to be a dud.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, maybe we did it at like 6:45 after sports Friday morning. Maybe it's a shorter, tighter segment earlier in the show at like 5:50 or something.
Yeah, but then what is even the point?
Just to encourage listener involvement and...
Yeah, but if nobody's hearing this and it's like, we had the guy on, you'll hear it coming up. James Hackman, he was here. We did a break with him. He got a certificate. He got a picture. His picture will be up on our social media for the month. And then outside of that, excuse me, there's really not much involvement. So it's like you want to encourage all this listener interaction, but if we're doing a 5-10 minute break one time out of the entire month, do you see what I'm saying? How does that encourage anything?
Well, I mean, it's not a content juggernaut, but to him, to James, that was...
Who cares about James?
Well, I'm just saying...
Why do we care about these people?
Because they like us.
Okay, so we make one person feel happy for a month. What is the benefit to the listener? Sell this idea on me. I'm still not sold.
Oh, the average listener?
Yes.
Just to, I don't know. I guess we should get rid of it.
It just never really resonated with me. We'll see how it goes.
No, it's like a garnish on the plate. If the show is the plate, this is just a garnish. And just a way to
give back. The show wouldn't
give
be the
back.
Plate. The show wouldn't be the plate. The show would be the entree, right?
Or the entree. The plate would be the station.
There we go. Okay.
And this would be a little garnish, some parsley that fell to the side of the plate. Yeah, it's just a way to recognize those people that value us and value the show and love it.
Listener of the month, here he is, James Hackman. It's a new segment on the JSS Morning Show. Will it last? We'll see.
A new feature here on the morning show. We're going to test it out and see how it goes. Apparently, it's not going well.
Well, we'll see, but I'm already seeing the rumblings, okay? This is meant to be fun. The JSS Listener of the Month. Listen, if you screw this up with a whole outpouring of why not me, I will pull the chute on this sumbitch so quick your head will spin. This is meant to be fun. This is meant to be a nice little shining of a light on good people that we appreciate.
Yeah, we'll check in with this listener throughout the month of March. They will have a photo taken with us that will become the, what do you call that photo at the top?
You have the profile pic and the banner pic's the big one.
It'll become our banner pic. We'll keep that up there. We'll have a profile pic with them for a little while. Outside of that, I don't know what the hell else they get. Not much, I guess.
There is very little. I did promise them a $10 stipend down in the bistro. So, Mike, maybe I'll have you or Hannah maybe walk them downstairs to have a nibble before they leave on the Schlagster. I'm going to start pushing that. I'm pushing the
Schlagster. Schlagster?
No, let's not do that.
No, I like it.
No, let's go over this one more time.
I feel like I'm not setting this up properly, Mike. I feel like I'm not doing the justice this deserves.
This is a man that has been an exemplary example of a great listener. And the reason that I selected this guy was because he started out as the dead opposite. This guy was a troll. This guy was a cretin. This guy
really?
Was someone that was a provocateur. And then he and I had a conversation online once where I said, dude, what's your deal? Why are you acting this way? And we had a heart-to-heart, and I learned about him. And I figured out his backstory. I figured out his trials and tribulations and why he might behave the way that he was. And then he turned himself around. He came back from the brink. So it's not someone that started great. It's someone that started from a point of adversity. And then he started showing up to places, started bringing gifts, started contributing content. And he went from what could be described as the worst of us to the best. And I like that long journey. So, Mike Anderson, if you would please bring in the JSS Listener of the Month. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you.
Oh!
J Hack M28, ladies and gentlemen, the first ever JSS, Justin Scott and Spiegel, Listener of the Month. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. Now, I'm not sure if you heard my preamble. I think I set it up pretty well, that one of the reasons that I fell in love with James was because at first you were an adversary, an enemy.
Yes.
But then you just completely turned it around. And there's a lot of people that will bust our balls and say some horrible stuff and will call us fat or losers or whatever else. And then I'll have a talk with them and be like, all right, whatever. Agree to disagree. Like, no, you're just being an ass. But you and I had a talk, and it was great.
Why are we, what was that about, the trolling in the beginning?
The biggest thing was a lot of stuff was going on in my life, and it was just a way for me to act out. And one of the biggest things was I listened to JSS. I mean, I followed your guys' careers for many years. And
don't be nervous. Breathe.
You're a good man.
It's a good thing.
I always look forward to seeing you at events. I see you on Fridays at the Fiasco, and you're always a smiling face. They say, ah, okay, we got three lunatics over here, but my guy James is here.
Take a deep breath. Good. And hold it.
Look at him shaking.
Well, he's in the presence of great.
And then you had a conversation with Justin. Mm-hmm. He showed you the error of your ways, and you went, you know what? He's right. Let's just, let's all make this a big love fest.
Sort of a more flies with honey than with vinegar thing. Yep. And you did that. And then you started coming out. And Josh, I made a point to you yesterday. It's sometimes not what you do when you come hang out. It's what you don't do. And what you do is you hang out. You have some drinks. You wave. A little pleasant conversation. And then you just make your way on out of there. You're not grabbing at us, clawing at us, sneezing at us. Why didn't you do this, say this, be this, wear this, say that, F this, F that. I've been in radio for never years, yet somehow you're packed to the brim with info.
32 minutes ago on Twitter, James writes, I'm so nervous.
You have every right to be.
It's just overwhelming, that's all.
Well, it's a great honor. You are the first ever listener of the month.
Listener of the month.
I was in shock pretty much all week. I still actually am. I probably think I'm dreaming.
Mike, you realize you don't really get anything.
Like, it's not a lot. You have $10 worth of stuff downstairs if you're hungry.
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Sure. They got big Texas cinnamon rolls.
I actually got you guys some stuff.
Oh, what? Oh, that's what this guy does.
He
gives gifts also that are great. I have a brand new, and by brand new, I mean old but new to me, collection of WWE VHS tapes, courtesy of James, that are sitting proudly in my AV little boy cave area downstairs that I love. Stuff that I used to own that I don't anymore. He was kind enough to bring me these things that I like to a good home type stuff, because you're not going to get anything for them on eBay. Someone's going to use them as a drink coaster if you trade them into a Salvation Army, so he gave them to me. Mike Anderson, what was your reason for picking James? Because full disclosure, Mike's the first one to bring you up, not even me.
Well, like I said yesterday, he's kind of hit all the boxes here. He interacts on social media, he comes to events, and he even put together his very own version of the Little Peen costume.
Yes. Yep. He showed up to Ocean City dressed as even littler Peen, the smallest of Peens. He cosplays as us. Which, by the way, I'm going to give a little hint here. There might be an event coming up where people are going to have an opportunity to cosplay as us. I'm just going to chum the waters with that. You two, with it, what you so choose to do with it. Yeah, the costume really tickled Mike. So what are your gifts? Give them to us.
Okay.
Listener of the month, James, in studio.
Mm-hmm. JSS listener of the month.
Now presenting us with gifts. He's walking over.
Oh,
this is for Mike.
Mike Anderson.
Oh,
what is this?
God.
The jacket you're wearing on the sleeve of the jacket you're wearing, it says Five Below. I've never seen a Five Below jacket.
It's a Five Below brand?
I'm a Five Below store manager. So
Now we got to talk.
We got a cool job.
That's like, that place is red hot. Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Is this vinyl?
What did Mike get? Mike? Oh, dude, you got a training katana?
Is this a practice katana?
What? Hop on that mic.
Hold
real
on,
quick,
you
got to
be on the mic if you're...
Hold on, this is for Josh.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's sweet.
Nice red bag.
Josh brought us gifts.
Very nice gifts.
I rebag.
You rebag? Good. Hey, he's also environmentally conscious. Wow, he wrapped mine in the penny saver.
I've seen these. I've never actually held one.
What is this?
Oh, buddy! This is nice! This
very nice.
Did he get you, Speaks?
He got me a mini Zen garden. Mini Zen garden, which that's very nice. Did you re-gift this?
No, I wanted to give you something that was small and wasn't going to cause too much anxiety or issue.
he knows you well. A little buddy's plush pet toy for Farfel.
I figured that was the best way to give you something for your dog.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
No problem.
And you got me the VHS widescreen box set of one of my favorite series of all times, the 20th anniversary digitally remastered Aliens collection, with my favorite version of Aliens with the 17 minutes of deleted footage where they have the sentry gun set up and they're just mauling xenomorphs that the studio made James Cameron cut for time.
Yep.
And it was pretty great. What did you get, Scott?
He got me the, I've seen pictures of this online. This is the 98 Rock Crank It Up Volume 2.
Look at that. Crank it up, buddy.
Back when we used to have cool stuff to give out at the station.
That's
and
not
we
a
made
thing
cool
we do.
Stuff.
That's wow. not a thing.
Yeah, I was seeing on Instagram that you were collecting albums.
Yeah, thank you. 1982. Oh, my God.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not done. He also got me a Stone Cold Steve Austin action figure. And for the original Game Boy, the WWF Warzone video game. So now I got to buy a Game Boy. James, congratulations. Our
thank
first
you so
ever
much.
And hopefully many listener of the month. May he reign on high all throughout March. Great job. Keep it up, James. See you tonight at the Fiasco.
See ya.
My dude.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Hey, I want you to go see our friend George Wilborn, Baltimore Comedy Factory, tonight. Great guy. Infectious laugh, people texted him. But I do need to warn you, if you're being drug tested at work, sit in the back row, because I think
you
our man,
anything,
dude.
No, I didn't.
You didn't pick up on a scent?
Not at all.
Yeah, this is an audio medium with some visual accoutrement. One day, maybe there'll be some sort of smell facet to the show. He is fantastic. A kind man, loves his son, great comic. Also, apparently dude sparks up.
He has medication, John.
He has his medicine. What am I saying? I'm so
was
insensitive.
Was he reeking of it?
Oh, God.
I didn't smell any. I mean, I can smell. I don't know. I just didn't smell.
Well, you're never around the stuff because you don't run with bandits.
Right.
Okay? George Wilborn, Baltimore Comedy Factory this weekend. Great guy, great talent, good friend. Reeking a weed.
Mike, did you pick up on that scent?
Dude, Hannah brought him up on Friday. And I'm around the corner in the office, and he's on the couch about 30 feet away. And I'm like, is somebody smoking weed in the building?
Yeah.
Or who knows? Maybe you're looking to catch a buzz, but you don't want to pony up any cash for it. Try and get sat all the way up front. Deep, deep breaths at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. George Wilborn joined us, and we all got a contact.
Contact.
It's Behind the Curtain.
He is a radio legend, comedy legend. He's got a picture on his Instagram page, the stress reliever. He is the stress reliever. George Wilborn in studio.
What up, fellas?
And he's got a picture of you right there with Spike Lee. That was when you did Chirac, right?
That is correct. That was correct. I think we went and caught a ball game. The White Sox and the Yankees were playing, and we went to the game together, him and myself and Father Flager, who is a guy that does a lot of work in Chicago.
And he just won, Spike won for what? Black Klansman?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard
finally
good things
about got that. It. Yeah, way to go, Spike.
About time. Took your time. It's like when Scorsese finally won for The Departed. Not one of his best films. What the hell is happening? I get G. Wilborn.
Yeah, man. You guys
with this Twitter banner. Are you having what looks to be a fox eat a pot sticker out of your mouth on a golf course?
That is
what
not
is
a sticker.
That pot sticker?
Actually a femur, I believe.
Oh, a lemur.
A lemur.
Oh,
a lemur.
Okay,
lemur.
I thought it was something super weird.
It's a lemur, and it was a whole family of them that came out. I was golfing, and a whole family came out. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start feeding. I fed him some chips.
I've got some pot stickers.
And as you can tell, I fed one out of my mouth, like, you know, I did it for the gram.
No. He's friendly.
Got to do it for the gram.
No.
These people do for the gram.
He's friendly.
Hey, you know, I just met the mayor downstairs.
He's friendly.
What?
I just met the mayor downstairs. She's a wonderful woman.
Mayor Catherine Pugh?
Yes. We had a long conversation downstairs. She's going to try to come to my show this weekend, but she's got to go to CIAA. But
did you tell her you were coming up here?
I didn't. Why would I tell her that? No
way. Okay, then she'll still show up.
Yeah. No, she's going to come. I want her to come.
If you bring the stink of us with you, she'll turn.
Listen, you all haven't even came to my show yet. Are you like the white friends that you have, but that won't come to your house?
What's CIAA? What you said she has to go?
Yeah, it's a basketball tournament. She's going down there. She's got commitments. So perhaps
is that in another town?
Yes, it is.
Oh, she's leaving town.
No,
oh,
we love Catherine. Hilarious. We've had a rocky road with her over.
Is that right? I'm sorry to hear that. She seems like a very, very incredible, like, a wonderful woman. Don't know how well she's doing. I hear she's doing
good. We have a much better relationship with her than the prior one, who once wore.
Hey, listen,
and
listen,
George, I'm not kidding.
She's got a tough job. I mean,
that's
I don't know if you
thing.
Guys. I'm coming from Chicago, and a city has their own problems and have for a while. Whoever's the mayor's got a really hell of a job, that they have to,
Just had an election, and there's going to be a runoff, right? Yes.
Is that right?
The first, the first black woman to be mayor of Chicago.
Was this a source subject? Should I have not brought this up?
I just made
all of that up, by the way.
No, you're 100% right. I've said on the air many times, look, we go hard at her sometimes, and we give her a hard time. We're like, hey, the city's a mess, right? Like, Chicago's a mess.
Yeah.
This place is a mess. But that being said, I don't envy her job at all.
Come on, man.
It's
easy for us to sit back and say, hey, do this and do that and do that. But when you are the one that's making all the decisions, getting all the money, trying to allocate it to the right places, I'm sure this is a tough job.
Yeah, my heart goes out to her. Why would you ever want to be mayor of
any big city in the United States? Come
it's
on,
like
man.
A lose-lose nowadays.
Didn't our former mayor become an Instagram model now?
Pretty much.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's no better being a comedian.
Madam Mayor, former Madam Mayor, Stephanie Rawlings.
You see the former mayor? I'll show you a photo.
Beautiful
look
woman.
Look at this.
Wow, that's the former mayor of where?
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Look at this, George. What's up, George Wilbur?
Well, you guys have a history of having some very attractive mayors and nothing else.
Yes, we do.
Wow. And that's what she went on to do afterwards?
We're not sure what Stephanie Rawlings Blake is doing nowadays. She's feeling herself. She's getting her groove back.
She's a beautiful woman.
She is very beautiful.
She once wore a ring and she said warded off negative energy, and she held it up to my face.
She's a looker.
And did it work?
I walked right off the stage.
Off? See, it worked. I got to get one of those rings.
Walked right off
the
stage.
She warded off.
It's like some video game power-up.
Oh, that's man. Funny. Yeah, so, George Wilborn, Baltimore Comedy Factory tonight, tomorrow night speaks. You were going to ask.
Black History Month's finally over.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Relax. Go back to your normal lives.
Are you living in Chicago now?
No, I'm back in Brooklyn, man. I moved from Chicago six some years ago, and I went to Manhattan. Then I moved back to D.C. I went to D.C. for 2 years to do radio with Michael Bazin again
and WHUR.
And about 4.5 months ago, I moved back to New York, but I came to Brooklyn this time. To Cobble Hill, Brooklyn.
Is Brooklyn the new Manhattan? It's very true.
I really like Brooklyn a lot.
Brooklyn is
I gotta be honest
hot
with you.
Right now.
I really like Brooklyn
Super
a lot.
Hot.
It's a really great neighborhood. You know, the people are great. It's certainly not as congested as when I was, living in Manhattan. But, I guess in a way it is.
Yes, it is.
I remember the rest in peace, late, great Anthony Bourdain talking about sort of like the gentrification of certain areas of New York, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Harlem, certain areas like that as they've become, as New York's become one of the safest cities in America. I mean, their murder rate is less than Baltimore, and they've had 10 times the population.
Listen, way 10 less,
times.
Dude.
No, they had it.
Chicago, too.
What was the stat that came out for Manhattan or something? They had the first murder on, like, the island of Manhattan or something in, like, 10 years or something. It was insane. I was like, are you kidding?
But one of his criticisms was that the fact that it's been so shined up and so cleaned up and the property value is getting expensive that some of the personalities been sucked from it.
Listen, give me that problem, okay?
That is the big problem with gentrification. People get really mad that it drives, the culture that has been there for years.
Listen, so what does the culture that has it for years do with it? What does those cities look like? What did Washington, D.C. look like, all those
80s,
years?
90s,
when
it,
come on.
Was
so
bad.
I was going. I was doing comedy in those places. So I don't buy that. I buy what do we do as a society? Time is going to keep on going. And do we want
to
evolve? Of course we do.
Do these
change? Absolutely they do.
Yes, you're our next mayor. George Wilborn in studio.
Appreciate it. The stress reliever.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. And, we're just talking off air. There's a whole lot to talk about.
Mm. Can you crack it back? Mr. Stress Reliever, man.
Yeah, no.
Can you give me that, little
there you
leg?
Go.
Come on.
There you go. You like that?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Thank you.
We're talking
$100,
about Jussie Smollett is going on. We haven't gotten your take on that. We got Robert Kraft getting massages. But Jussie Smollett, I mean, where are we at Chicago?
What was the mood in Chicago where it took place? Because we've all been all outside looking in. You're there, ground zero for it.
Well, I mean, not currently, but yes.
Yeah, you're in Brooklyn currently, but that's where you're from.
But I'm going to tell you, the people were upset, you know, just like the police chief. He was genuinely upset because, like Baltimore, Chicago has its fair share of problems that, you know, that they're trying to correct. So to get piled on or say some extra stuff that is happening, it was offensive to a lot of people. I will tell you that. But a lot of other people were saying, how in the hell did that happen? 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, come on now. That bread at that point becomes a
weapon. Well, he had the Subway sandwich.
Yeah, he had that sandwich.
At 2 in the morning. And we were talking off air, and there was like weird little things that stuck out to people where it was like, I've never been jumped by two dudes, right? But it's...
I have.
Chicago.
I don't remember what neither one of them looked like.
Yeah. Right. You got jumped by two dudes. You're walking with a Subway sandwich. When you're leaving that tussle, are you still walking home with that Subway sandwich?
There's no way you can leave that. There's no way. How the hell you the sandwich survive?
The sandwich would not
the double meat tuna.
You do not have the wherewithal after being jumped.
$5? Come on. No way. A $5.
I've been looking for. Do you know how badly you want a sandwich if you're buying Subway at 2 a.m.? You've been looking forward to that sandwich.
You want that foot long if
you
you're out there at 2 o'clock.
So bad.
You really do.
If you're going out when God is asleep. You want a sandwich more than anything else.
Yes,
like you said,
do.
That becomes a weapon at that point.
That's day old bread. You know, you take that to the eye. That's the equivalent of a brick or mortar. But I'm gonna tell you this.
Hey, Mr. Empire Man, you're an swings that foot long someone. Like a pipe.
Let me ask you this.
And I didn't believe the whole description. I believed everything until he got to the part when he said, "You know what?" And then he punched me, and I punched his ass back.
Yeah.
That part, I said, wait a minute.
Wait a second here.
Wait a minute. I don't quite believe that.
The part that jumped out was, hey, Empire. Like,
now, like, I thought he was talking about the carpet guy at first. Empire.
800-588-2300. Yeah, I didn't believe, like, wait, did you not like how the last episode turned out? You know, and that's not even like, he's a main character on the show, but he's not like Cookie.
No, not at all. But I mean, he's well liked, and an actor that I think not too long ago, you know, was looking for work, which is also surprising when people, whatever happened, end up, you know, doing stunts like this. You know, you work really hard to get into a position to do something crazy or whatever the hell happened. It's just, you know, I believe, to answer your question, it's no way you don't get home without that freaking sandwich.
The sub is the first thing to go. Like, I'm thinking, what's the most expensive thing on your person?
That sandwich.
And while you're getting jumped, is probably would end up being, like, your cell phone.
Do you know that lettuce is salty? He could have took the lettuce from that sandwich, threw it in the eyes of the attackers, and temporarily blinded them.
Oh, his eyes, they burn. Oh, goodness, I can't see anything because of the Old Bay seasonings that he got on his tuna.
Oh my God! I just got jumped. Am I okay? Let me see. Okay. My head. I need an ambulance.
Was that blood or sauce under his arm?
Okay, but wait a minute. Barbecue sauce all over my.
Wait, where's the tuna 6-inch?
Okay. Oh no!
Okay, I got that. It's like
you only got a 6-inch.
Yeah, and we were talking about this off air too. The people that I felt bad about, because I've seen people like this. I bet you've encountered people like this. Let me try and make this connection for you. Mm-hmm. You're a headlining comedian. You go all around the country, and you get a feature act that you might meet for the first time, and
all the time.
You guys hit it off, and you see this younger cat in comedy that's looking to someone like a George Wilborn. Is like, man, this is the guy maybe underneath the wing. When he comes back to my town, I'd like to feature for you again, or maybe the next state over, can I be your guy? Mm-hmm. And you get someone on the way up that likes to ingratiate themselves to someone that's there, yourself. Jussie Smollett, this is a guy on a major show. He's getting acting work. You get these two brothers that were the ones engaged in the act, that they were extras on the show, two handsome-looking guys. They probably wanted to be actors. They want to be WWE tag team champions by the looks of it. Those dudes are...
Oh, yeah. No, they're ripped.
Jack. Yeah. But I could see them wanting to ingratiate themselves to this guy and go along with this, like, malarkey scheme to be like, well, maybe, who knows, down the line this might be able to pay off. And if this guy gets a starring role in a film, he'll remember what
Look what happened to Milli Vanilli. Same thing, right?
And we brought that up. Yeah.
You know, they were brought into something in some world that they knew nothing about and had an opportunity to end up doing something really stupid or whatever. But who knows? Because we still don't know what happened. Maybe it did happen.
seconds. Are you waiting for a shadow player to emerge from... It was me. This man rolls out like a wheelchair with a scar over his eye. I orchestrated everything. I'm Dr. Malarkey. Yes.
I'm Dr. Malarkey.
I make malarkey happen. Sorry about your sandwich, Jesse. Should have gone to Firehouse Subs.
wait a minute. Is that Subway is a sponsor, right?
I mean, they may advertise here. I don't know.
The sandwich made it.
The sandwich did make it.
And it had nothing to do with any corruptness that happened in that.
It's that flimsy little bag they put it in. Just all this time, you thought that flimsy little bag was just such a throwaway item.
It's Kevlar.
We learned the lesson.
Why does it have to be such a narrow, vertical bag?
It's a very alarming bag.
So you can put other things in it when you're done with it.
Scott rolls them up and uses them as condoms.
I do. Yeah.
I use them as shower caps for my cat.
I've had a pretty good success rate with it.
Josh has been able to stuff a severed limb in those things and finch it off real nice at the end. There are so many missing
hitchhikers. Why so few napkins?
That's why, to answer your question.
Why so few napkins, by the way? Okay. Is there a ham embargo? Okay. Two pieces end to end with them touching? Come on.
It's a very calculated sandwich.
It's a calculated sandwich.
I do enjoy a Subway sandwich
as I scroll through the sponsors. I do enjoy one quite much. I love when you go into a Subway and you can tell that it's either the dude's first day on the job or the last day on the job, and it's just, here is all the ham. Here is all the turkey. You want bacon? All right, let me warm up 15 strips. Like the guy just scoops pickles
you
on there.
You get the black, hey, man, what is you doing, man?
There you go. All of it. What do you want? Here's all the imitation crab. Dig in. Much as you want. I'm walking out of here today. I got headhunted by Quiznos. All the turkey. Dig in.